Chapter 4. I said, spaceship, not rocket ship. It made no noise but a whoosh, and there weren't any flaming jets. It seemed to move by clean living and righteous thoughts. I was too busy keeping from being squashed to worry about details. A spacesuit in one gravity is no tracksuit. It's a good thing I had practiced. The ship sat down where I had just been, occupying more than its share of pasture, a big, black shape. The other one whooshed down too, just as a door opened in the first. Light poured through the door, two figures spilled out and started to run. One moved like a cat, the other moved clumsily and slowly, handicapped by a spacesuit. So help me, a person in a spacesuit does look silly. This one was less than 5 feet tall and looked like the gingerbread man. A big trouble with a suit is your limited angle of vision. I was trying to watch both of them and did not see the second ship open. The first figure stopped, waiting for the one in the spacesuit to catch up, then suddenly collapsed. Just a gasping sound, and clunk. You can tell the sound of pain. I ran to the spot at a lumbering dog trot, leaned over, and tried to see what was wrong, tilting my helmet to bring the beam of my headlight onto the ground. Bug-eyed monster! That's not fair, but it was my first thought. I couldn't believe it, and would have pinched myself, except that it isn't practical when suited up. An unprejudiced mind, which mine wasn't, would have said that this monster was rather pretty. It was small, not more than half my size, and its curves were graceful, not as a girl is, but more like a leopard, although it wasn't shaped like either one. I couldn't grasp its shape. I didn't have any pattern to fit it to. It wouldn't add up. But I could see that it was hurt. Its body was quivering like a frightened rabbit. It had enormous eyes, open but milky and featureless, as if nictitating membranes were across them. What appeared to be its mouth. That's as far as I got. Something hit me in the spine, right between the gas bottles. I woke up on a bare floor, staring at a ceiling. It took several moments to recall what had happened, and then I shied away because it was so darn silly. I had been out for a walk in Oscar, and then a spaceship had landed, and a bug-eyed... I sat up suddenly as I realized that Oscar was gone. A light, cheerful voice said,
"Hi there!"
I snapped my head around. A kid about 10 years old was seated on the floor, leaning against a wall. I corrected myself. Boys don't usually clutch rag dolls. This kid was the age when the difference doesn't show much, and was dressed in shirt, shorts, and dirty tennis shoes, and had short hair, so I didn't have much to go on but the rag dolly. "Hi yourself. What are we doing here?"
"I'm surviving. I don't know about you."
"Huh?"
"Surviving. Pushing my breath in and out. Conserving my strength. There's nothing else to do at the moment. They've got us locked in."
I looked around. The room was about 10 feet across, four-sided, but wedge-shaped, and nothing in it but us. I couldn't see a door. If we weren't locked, we might as well be. Who locked us in?
Them. Space pirates. And him.
Space pirates? Don't be silly. The kid shrugged.
Just my name for them. But better not think they're silly if you want to keep on surviving. Are you Junebug?
Huh? You sound like a Junebug yourself. Space pirate's my aunt. I was worried and very confused, and this nonsense didn't help. Where was Oscar? And where was I?
No, not a Junebug, but Junebug, a radio call. You see, I'm Pee-wee.
I said to myself, "Kip, old pal, walk slowly to the nearest hospital and give yourself up. When a radio rig you wired yourself starts looking like a skinny little girl with a rag doll, you flipped. It's going to be wet packs and tranquilizers and no excitement for you. You've blown every fuse." "You're Pee-wee?"
"That's what I'm called. I'm relaxed about it. You see, I heard Junebug calling Pee-wee and decided that Daddy had found out about the spot I was in and had alerted people to help me land. But if you aren't Junebug, you wouldn't know about that. Who are you?"
"Wait a minute. I am Junebug. I mean, I was using that call. But I'm Clifford Russell. Kip, they call me.
How do you do, Kip?
And howdy to you, Pee-wee. Are you a boy or a girl? Pee-wee looked disgusted.
I'll make you regret that remark. I realize I am undersized for my age, but I'm actually 11 going on 12. There's no need to be rude. In another 5 years, I expect to be quite a dish. You'll probably beg me for every dance.
At the moment, I would as soon have danced with a kitchen stool. But I had things on my mind and didn't want a useless argument. Sorry, Pee-wee. I'm still groggy. You mean you were in that first ship? Again, she looked miffed.
I was piloting it.
Sedation every night and a long course of psychoanalysis. At my age. You were piloting?
You surely don't think the mother thing could. She wouldn't fit their controls. She curled up beside me and coached. But if you think it's easy, when you've never piloted anything but a Cessna with your daddy at your elbow and never made any kind of landing, then think again. I did very well, and your landing instructions weren't too specific. What have they done with the mother thing?
The what?
You don't know? Oh, dear.
Wait a minute, Pee-wee. Let's get on the same frequency. I'm Junebug, all right, and I homed you in. And if you think that's easy, to have a voice out of nowhere demand emergency landing instructions, you better think again, too. Anyhow, a ship landed, and another ship landed right after it, and a door opened in the first ship, and a guy in a spacesuit jumped out.
That was I.
And something else jumped out.
The mother thing.
Only she didn't get far. She gave a screech and flopped. I went to see what the trouble was, and something hit me. The next thing I know, you're saying, "Hi there." I wondered if I ought to tell her that the rest, including her, was likely a morphine dream, because I was probably lying in a hospital with my spine in a cast. Pee-wee nodded thoughtfully.
They must have blasted you at low power, or you wouldn't be here. Well, they caught you, and they caught me. So they almost certainly caught her. Oh dear, I do hope they didn't hurt her.
She looked like she was dying.
As if she were dying. Subjunctive. I rather doubt it. She's awfully hard to kill, and they wouldn't kill her except to keep her from escaping. They need her alive.
Why? And why do you call her the mother thing?
One at a time, Kip. She's the mother thing because, well, because she is. That's all. You'll know when you meet her. As to why they wouldn't kill her, it's because she's worth more as a hostage than as a corpse. The same reason they kept me alive. Although she's worth incredibly more than I am, they'd write me off without a blink if I became inconvenient. Or you. But since she was alive when you saw her, then it's logical that she's a prisoner again. Maybe right next door. That makes me feel much better.
It didn't make me feel better. Yes, but where is here? Pee-wee glanced at a Mickey Mouse watch, frowned, and said,
Almost halfway to the moon, I'd say.
What?
Of course I don't know, but it makes sense that they would go back to their nearest base. That's where the mother thing and I scrammed from.
You're telling me we're in that ship?
Either the one I swiped or the other one. Where did you think you were, Kip? Where else could you be?
A mental hospital. She looked big-eyed and then grinned.
Why, Kip, surely your grip on reality is not that weak.
I'm not sure about anything. Space pirates. Mother things. She frowned and bit her thumb.
I suppose it must be confusing. But trust your ears and eyes. My grip on reality is quite strong, I assure you. You see, I'm a genius.
She made it a statement, not a boast. And somehow I was not inclined to doubt the claim, even though it came from a skinny shanked kid with a ragdoll in her arms. But I didn't see how it was going to help. Pee-wee went on.
Space pirates. Call them what you wish. Their actions are piratical, and they operate in space. You name them. As for the mother thing, wait until you meet her.
What's she doing in this hullabaloo?
Well, it's complicated. She had better explain it. She's a cop, and she was after them.
A cop?
I'm afraid that is another semantic inadequacy. The mother thing knows what we mean by cop, and I think she finds the idea bewildering, if not impossible. But what would you call a person who hunts down miscreants? A cop, no?
A cop, yes, I guess.
So would I.
She looked again at her watch.
But right now I think we'd better hang on. We ought to be at halfway point in a few minutes, and a skew flip is disconcerting even if you are strapped down.
I had read about skew flip turnovers, but only as a theoretical maneuver. I had never heard of a ship that could do one. If this was a ship, the floor felt as solid as concrete and as motionless. I don't see anything to hang on to.
Not much, I'm afraid. But if we sit down in the narrowest part and push against each other, I think we can brace enough not to slide around. But let's hurry. My watch might be slow.
We sat on the floor in the narrow part, where the angled walls were about 5 feet apart. We faced each other and pushed our shoes against each other, each of us bracing like an alpinist inching his way up a rock chimney, my socks against her tennis shoes, rather, for my shoes were still on my workbench, so far as I knew. I wondered if they had simply dumped Oscar in the pasture, and if Dad would find him.
Push hard, Kip, and brace your hands against the desk.
I did so. How do you know when they'll turn over, Pee-wee?
I haven't been unconscious. They just tripped me and carried me inside, so I know when we took off. If we assume that the moon is their destination, as it probably is, and if we assume one gravity the whole jump, which can't be far off. My weight feels normal. Doesn't yours?
I considered it. I think so.
Then it probably is, even though my own sense of weight may be distorted from being on the moon. If those assumptions are correct, then it is almost exactly a 3.5-hour trip, and...
Pee-wee looked at her watch.
ETA should be 9:30 in the morning, and turnover at 7:45. Any moment now.
Is it that late? I looked at my watch. Why, I've got a quarter of two.
You're on your zone time. I'm on moon time. Greenwich time, that is. Uh-oh, here we go!
The floor tilted, swerved, and swooped like a roller coaster, and my semicircular canals did a samba. Things steadied down as I pulled out of acute dizziness.
You all right?
I managed to focus my eyes. I think so. It felt like a 1.5 gainer into a dry pool.
This pilot does it faster than I dared to. It doesn't really hurt, after your eyes uncross. But that settles it. We're headed for the moon. We'll be there in 1 hour and 3/4.
I still couldn't believe it. Pee-wee, what kind of a ship can gun at 1G all the way to the moon? They've been keeping it secret? And what were you doing on the moon anyhow? And why were you stealing a ship? She sighed and spoke to her doll.
He's a quiz kid, Madame Pompadour. Kip, how can I answer 3 questions at once? This is a flying saucer, and...
Flying saucer? Now I've heard everything.
It's rude to interrupt. Call it anything you like. There's nothing official about the term. Actually, it's shaped more like a loaf of pumpernickel. An oblate spheroid. That's a shape defined.
I know what an oblate spheroid is. I was tired and upset from too many things. From a cranky air conditioner that had ruined a good pair of pants, to being knocked out while on an errand of mercy, not to mention Ace Quiggle. I was beginning to think that little girls who were geniuses ought to have the grace not to show it.
No need to be brisk. I am aware that people have called everything from weather balloons to streetlights flying saucers. But it is my considered opinion by Occam's razor that...
Whose razor?
Occam's. Least hypothesis. Don't you know anything about logic?
Not much.
Well, I suspected that about every 500th saucer sighting was a ship like this. It adds up. As for what I was doing on the moon...
She stopped and grinned.
I'm a pest.
I didn't argue it.
A long time ago, when my daddy was a boy, the Hayden Planetarium took reservations for trips to the moon. It was just a publicity gag, like that silly soap contest recently. But Daddy got his name on the list. Now, years and years later, they are letting people go to the moon, and sure enough, the Hayden people turned the list over to American Express, and American Express notified the applicants they could locate that they would be given preference.
So your father took you to the moon?
Oh, heavens no. Daddy filled out that form when he was only a boy. Now he is just about the biggest man at the Institute for Advanced Study and hasn't time for such pleasures, and Mama wouldn't go if you paid her. So I said I would. Daddy said, no, and Mama said, good gracious, no, and so I went. I can be an awful nuisance when I put my mind on it. I have a talent for it. Daddy says I'm an amoral little wretch.
Do you suppose he might be right?
Oh, I'm sure he is. He understands me, whereas Mama throws up her hands and says she can't cope. I was perfectly beastly and unbearable for 2 whole weeks, and at last Daddy said, for blank's sake, let her go. Maybe we'll collect her insurance. So I did.
That still doesn't explain why you are here.
Oh, that. I was poking around where I shouldn't, doing things they told us not to. I always get around. It's very educational. So they grabbed me. They would rather have Daddy, but they hoped to swap me for him. I couldn't let that happen, so I had to escape.
The butler did it.
What?
Your story has as many holes as the last chapter of most whodunits.
Oh, but I assure you it is the simple. Uh-oh, here we go again.
All that happened was that the lighting changed from white to blue. There weren't any light fixtures. The whole ceiling glowed. We were still sprawled on the floor. I started to get up, and found I couldn't. I felt as if I had just finished a cross-country race, too weak to do anything but breathe. Blue light can't do that. It's merely wavelengths 4300 to 5100 angstroms, and sunlight is loaded with it. But whatever they used with the blue light made us as limp as wet string. Pee-wee was struggling to tell me something.
If they're coming for us, don't resist. And above all...
The blue light changed to white. The narrow wall started to slide aside. Pee-wee looked scared and made a great effort.
Above all, don't antagonize him.
Two men came in, shoved Pee-wee aside, strapped my wrists and ankles, and ran another strap around my middle, binding my arms. I started to come out of it, not like flipping a switch, as I still didn't have energy enough to lick a stamp. I wanted to bash their heads, but I stood as much chance as a butterfly has of hefting a barbell. They carried me out. I started to protest. Say, where are you guys taking me? What do you think you're doing? I'll have you arrested. I'll...
Shut up,
said one. He was a skinny runt, 50 or older, and looked as if he never smiled. The other was fat and younger, with a petulant, babyish mouth and a dimple in his chin. He looked as if he could laugh if he weren't worried. He was worrying now.
Tim, this can get us in trouble. We ought to space him. We ought to space both of them and tell him it was an accident. We can say they got out and tried to escape through the lock. He won't know the dip.
Shut up,
answered Tim with no inflection. He added,
do you want trouble with him? You want a true space?
But
shut up.
They carried me around a curved corridor into an inner room and dumped me on the floor. I was face up, but it took time to realize this must be the control room. It didn't look like anything any human would design as a control room, which wasn't surprising, as no human had. Then I saw him. Pee-wee needn't have warned me. I didn't want to antagonize him. The little guy was tough and dangerous. The fat guy was mean and murderous. They were cherubs compared with him. If I had had my strength, I would have fought those two any way they liked. I don't think I'm too afraid of any human, as long as the odds aren't impossible. But not him. He wasn't human, but that wasn't what hurt. Elephants aren't human, but they are very nice people. He was built more like a human than an elephant is, but that was no help. I mean, he stood erect and had feet at one end and a head at the other. He was no more than 5 feet tall, but that didn't help either. He dominated us the way a man dominates a horse. The torso part was as long as mine. His shortness came from very squat legs, with feet, I guess you would call them feet, which bulged out, almost disc-like. They made squashy sucking sounds when he moved. When he stood still, a tail, or third leg, extruded and turned him into a tripod. He didn't need to sit down, and I doubt if he could. Short legs did not make him slow. His movements were blurringly fast, like a striking snake, Does this mean a better nervous system and more efficient muscles? Or a native planet with higher gravity? His arms looked like snakes. They had more joints than ours. He had two sets, one pair where his waist should have been, and another set under his head. No shoulders. I couldn't count his fingers or digit tendrils. They never held still. He wasn't dressed except for a belt below and above the middle arms, which carried whatever such a thing carries in place of money and keys. His skin was purplish-brown and looked oily. Whatever he was not the same race as the mother thing. He had a faint, sweetish, musky odor. Any crowded room smells worse on a hot day, but if I ever whiff that odor again, my skin will crawl and I'll be tongue-tied with fright. I didn't take in these details instantly. At first, all I could see was his face. A face is all I can call it. I haven't described it yet, because I'm afraid I'll get the shakes. But I will, so that if you ever see one, you'll shoot first, before your bones turn to jelly. No nose. He was an oxygen breather, but where the air went in and out, I couldn't say. Some of it through the mouth, for he could talk. The mouth was the second worst part of him. In place of jawbone and chin, he had mandibles that opened sideways as well as down, gaping in three irregular sides. There were rows of tiny teeth, but no tongue that I could see. Instead, the mouth was rimmed with cilia as long as angleworms. They never stopped squirming. I said the mouth was second worst. He had eyes. They were big and bulging and protected by horny ridges, two on the front of his head, set wide apart. They scanned. They scanned like radar, swinging up and down and back and forth. He never looked at you, and yet was always looking at you. When he turned around, I saw a third eye in back. I think he scanned his whole surroundings at all times, like a radar warning system. What kind of brain can put together everything in all directions at once? I doubt if a human brain could, even if there were any way to feed in the data. He didn't seem to have room in his head to stack much of a brain, but maybe he didn't keep it there. Come to think of it, humans wear their brains in an exposed position. There may be better ways. But he certainly had a brain. He pinned me down like a beetle and squeezed out what he wanted. He didn't have to stop to brainwash me. He questioned, and I gave, for an endless time. It seemed more like days than hours. He spoke English badly, but understandably. His labials were all alike. Bi and pi and vi sounded the same. His gutturals were harsh, and his dentals had a clucking quality. But I could usually understand, and when I didn't, he didn't threaten or punish. He just tried again. He had no expression in his speech. He kept at it until he had found out who I was and what I did, and as much of what I knew as interested him. He asked questions about how I happened to be where I was and dressed the way I was when I was picked up. I couldn't tell whether he liked the answers or not. He had trouble understanding what a soda jerk was, and while he learned about the Skyway soap contest, he never seemed to understand why it took place. But I found that there were a lot of things I didn't know either, such as how many people there are on Earth, and how many tons of protein we produce each year. After endless time, he had all he wanted and said,
"Take it out."
The stooges had been waiting. The fat boy gulped and said,
"Space him?"
He acted as if killing me or not were like saving a piece of string.
"No. It is ignorant and untrained, but I may have a use for it later. Put it back in the bin."
"Yes, boss."
They dragged me out. In the corridor, Fatty said,
"Let's untie his feet and make him walk."
Skinny said,
"Shut up."
Pee-wee was just inside the entrance panel, but didn't move, so I guess she had had another dose of that blue light effect. They stepped over her and dumped me. Skinny chopped me on the side of the neck to stun me. When I came to, they were gone. I was unstrapped, and Pee-wee was sitting by me. she said anxiously.
Pretty bad?
Yeah, I agreed, and shivered. I feel 90 years old.
It helps if you don't look at him, especially his eyes. Rest a while, and you'll feel better.
She glanced at her watch.
It's only 45 minutes till we land. You probably won't be disturbed before then.
Huh? I sat up. I was in there only an hour?
A little less, but it seems forever. I know.
I feel like a squeezed orange. I frowned, remembering something. Pee-wee, I wasn't too scared when they came for me. I was going to demand to be turned loose and insist on explanations. But I never asked him a question. Not one.
You never will. I tried. But your will just drains out, like a rabbit in front of a snake.
Yes.
Kip, do you see why I had to take just any chance to get away? You didn't seem to believe my story. Do you believe it now?
Yes. I believe it.
Thanks. I always say I'm too proud to care what people think. But I'm not, really. I had to get back to Daddy and tell him, because he's the only one in the entire world who would simply believe me, no matter how crazy it sounded.
I see. I guess I see. But how did you happen to wind up in Centerville?
Centerville?
Where I live. Where Junebug called Pee-wee.
Oh, I never meant to go there. I meant to land in New Jersey. In Princeton, if possible. Because I had to find Daddy.
Well, you sure missed your aim.
Can you do better? I would have done all right, but I had my elbow joggled. Those things aren't hard to fly. You just aim and push for where you want to go. Not like the complicated things they do about rocket ships. And I had the mother thing to coach me. But I had to slow down going into the atmosphere and compensate for Earth's spin, and I didn't know quite how. I found myself too far west, and they were chasing me, and I didn't know what to do. And then I heard you and the space operations band, and thought everything was all right. And there I was.
She spread her hands.
I'm sorry, Kip.
Well, you landed it. They say any landing you walk away from is a good one.
But I'm sorry I got you mixed up in it.
Don't worry about that. It looks like somebody has to get mixed up in it. Pee-wee, what's he up to?
They, you mean.
Huh? I don't think the other two amount to anything. He is the one.
I didn't mean Tim and Jock. They're just people gone bad. I mean, them. Him, and others like him.
I wasn't at my sharpest. I had been knocked out 3 times, and was shy a night's sleep, and more confusing things had happened than in all my life. But until Pee-wee pointed it out, I hadn't considered that there could be more than one like him. One seemed more than enough. But if there was one, then there were thousands, maybe millions or billions. I felt my stomach twist and wanted to hide. You've seen others?
No, just him. But the mother thing told me.
Ugh! Pee-wee, what are they up to?
Haven't you guessed? They're moving in on us.
My collar felt tight, even though it was open. How?
I don't know.
You mean they're going to kill us off and take over Earth? She hesitated.
It might not be anything that nice.
Make slaves of us?
You're getting warmer, Kip. I think they eat meat.
I swallowed. You have the jolliest ideas for a little girl.
You think I like it? That's why I had to tell Daddy.
There didn't seem to be anything to say. It was an old, old fear for human beings. Dad had told me about an invasion from Mars radio broadcast when he was a kid. Pure fiction, but it had scared people silly. But people didn't believe in it now. Ever since we got to the moon and circled Mars and Venus, everybody seemed to agree that we weren't going to find life anywhere. Now here it was, in our laps. Pee-wee, are these things Martians or from Venus? She shook her head.
They're not from anywhere close. The mother thing tried to tell me, but we ran into a difficulty of understanding.
Inside the solar system?
That was part of the difficulty. Both yes and no.
It can't be both.
You ask her.
I'd like to. I hesitated, then blurted. I don't care where they're from. We can shoot them down. If we don't have to look at them.
Oh, I hope so.
It figures. You say these are flying saucers. Real saucer sightings, I mean, not weather balloons. If so, they have been scouting us for years. Therefore, they aren't sure of themselves, even if they do look horrible enough to curdle milk. Otherwise, they would have moved in at once, the way we would on a bunch of animals. But they haven't. That means we can kill them, if we go about it right. She nodded eagerly.
I hope so. I hoped Daddy would see a way, but...
She frowned.
We don't know much about them, and Daddy always warned me not to be cocksure when data was incomplete. Don't make so much stew from one oyster, Pee-wee, he always says.
But I'll bet we're right. Say, who is your Daddy? And what's your full name?
Why, Daddy is Professor Reisfeld, and my name is Patricia Winant Reisfeld. Isn't that awful? Better call me Pee-wee.
Professor Reisfeld, what does he teach?
Huh? You don't know? You don't know about Daddy's Nobel Prize? Or anything?
I'm just a country boy, Pee-wee. Sorry.
You must be. Daddy doesn't teach anything. He thinks. He thinks better than anybody. Except me, possibly. He's the synthesist. Everybody else specializes. Daddy knows everything and puts the pieces together.
Maybe so, but I hadn't heard of him. It sounded like a good idea. But it would take an awfully smart man. If I had found out anything, it was that they could print it faster than I could study it. Professor Reisfeld must have 3 heads. 5.
Wait till you meet him,
she added, glancing at her watch.
Kip, I think we had better get braced. We'll be landing in a few minutes. And he won't care how he shakes up passengers.
So we crowded into the narrow end and braced each other. We waited. After a bit, the ship shook itself and the floor tilted. There was a slight bump and things got steady, and suddenly I felt very light. Pee-wee pulled her feet under her and stood up.
Well, we're on the moon.